We indeed are a blessed people. Even when you think you've got it tough, it's always easy to look around and see somebody that's got it tougher. But there's a lot of things that we should be thankful for this time of the year, particularly ribbons, bows, and tape, and wives who are willing to bring a belt to her husband when he needs one. A lot of things to be thankful for. So if you have a joy, if you're thankful for anything in your life, you've got something that puts a smile on your face, just raise your hand. And if you want to thank God for that, raise your other hand. Now wave them around in the air. So I told you we'd have a Pentecostal church one day. Now, I also know that being human and living in a broken world, we all have concerns. Concerns for something in our own lives, concerns for somebody in a family, a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor. There are a lot of needs among us, and we could spend all night talking about those needs and praying about them. We know a lot of people who are sick and hurting, financially in trouble, problems with relationships, with children, with parents, with church even. Problems, problems, problems. A lot of concerns. You and I have the privilege of being the children of Almighty God, and we know that God listens to our prayers. So pray about those problems. Pray about each other's problems. Know that you have favor with God and man, for it is written. So if you have a concern for yourself or for someone else, raise your hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we do give you thanks for our blessings, for the littlest blessing to the biggest. Thank you, Lord. And God, we also cast upon you our cares, because you told us to do that. We give to you all of our burdens and our concerns. We lift them up into the light and love of your presence with the uplifted hand today. We're praying not only for ourselves, but for situations in the world. We're praying, God, for people that we know, people in our families, our neighborhood, co-workers, people in the news. God, they need it. They need your help. And we believe that you're greater than any problem that anybody has. We believe, God, help our unbelief. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible, regardless of what the world says. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. It is written. That's your promise to us, God. And we're standing on that promise. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. If you would indulge me, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? It says, the gospel according to John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. You know, there's a lot of absolutes in the world. throw something up in the air, it's going to come back down. One-way street. The last church I was at, the church was across the street. My office was on the other side. And it was a one-way street going in that direction as I looked out the window. I can't tell you how many times I saw cars going that way, you know. One-way street. You can't put a square peg in a round hole. Just can't. One and one equals two. And when the ball breaks the plane of the goal, it's a touchdown. Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's true with every team except New England Patriots, okay? Just got carried away there. The Word of God is clear. The Word of God makes it real clear. There is no other way to salvation except through Jesus. God, the creator of the whole universe, the author and sustainer of life, the giver of immortal gladness, he became one of us. He became one of us. In all ways, he became one of us. A wee babe in the manger, in a stable, with animals, born into a chaotic time. The world was being torn apart. He chose to come in that fashion to be one of us, to show us the way, and to pay the price for our sin. Our sin that separates us from God. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." No other name. No. And you can think of a lot of important people out in the world, historical people who were famous. Not one of those people, no matter how bright, how powerful, how famous they are, none of them can lead us to salvation. Just Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Again, John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world," which we celebrated Christmas. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Christmas. It's what it's all about. Again, I've said this several times during Advent. Christmas is not about all of the decorations and all of the food and the music and the gifts. That's all gravy. Man, that's the extra stuff. That's what we use to celebrate the fact that Jesus sent his Son to save us. To save us from eternal damnation from hell. Because without Jesus, that's where we go. With Jesus, we go to the Father in heaven. Pretty simple. It's a one-way street. No other way. You would think it would be pretty clear. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, 22 and 23 goes on to say that Jesus will also be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is all about our salvation. We can argue about a lot of different things in life, about how much water you use to baptize with, whether you sprinkle or pour or dunk. We can argue about that all you want. We can argue about how you take communion. We can argue about how you dress in church, how often you got to go to church, how you say your prayers, whether you kneel, stand. We can discuss that all you want. You can do your thing, I can do mine. But what there is no arguing about, what there's no discussion about is salvation. It is found in no one else except Jesus Christ. You can't be good enough. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't pay money and buy a seat in heaven. You can't be better than the next person. It doesn't work either. Can't even come and sit in a pew in church and expect to get saved. Because let's face it, sitting in a pew in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than if you were to sit in a chair in an airplane hangar would make you an airplane. It's what you believe in your heart that matters. And at Christmas, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born to save us, to bring us the gift of salvation. And he became one of us so that we could relate. He didn't come as a king. He came as a wee baby in the manger. You know, he grew up through the hard school of knocks. And a lot of us can relate to that, right? Been there, done that. Man, I was a steel worker before going into the ministry. Worked at Bucyrus Erie in Glassport. Worked for U.S. Steel and Claritin Works. I was in those blast furnaces. I was grinding and chipping, and I was a burner. Did all that stuff and saw those mills blow up and go away. We lost a house. We lost a car. Bankruptcy. Food stamps. 4 children. Times were tough. I know. And some of you know too. Been there, done that. Didn't know where our next meal was coming from. But God was good to us. Saw us through all those tough times. And then all of a sudden God calls me into the ministry. The age of 35, I go back to college, 3 years of college at Waynesburg, go to seminary for 4 years, get my master's, sacrifice my family because I was gone a lot and they paid the price. But Jesus was the way, the only way. And I knew that. No other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. My children hated my guts for that at the time. My daughter got into drugs, all kind of other problems. Kids rebelled. Today, my 4 children, my 3 oldest children are United Methodist pastors. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through him. If you honor that, God will bless you. That's salvation. Doesn't only begin when we die, it begins right now, the moment you accept Christ. And he had to be one of us. He just couldn't snap his fingers and change it. It had to be done this way. Told this one last year. There was a man who, him and his wife and children, they lived out in the country and they had a little farm. Christmas rolled around, and this man hardly ever went to church, very seldom. Well, the Christmas Eve service was coming up, and his wife asked him, "Honey, are you going to go to Christmas Eve services with us?" And he said, "No." He said, "You know, I just have a hard time with believing that God would come down and be one of us. I mean, why would he do that? Just doesn't make sense to me." He said, "You go and have a good time." Well, Christmas Eve rolled around, and it was a bad storm going on. Snow was coming down like crazy. The wind was howling. Temperatures were dropping. They had a good 4-wheel drive truck, and the wife and the children, they went out and got in the truck. They took off for church, and the man sat down next to the fireplace, got out his newspaper, a cup of coffee, and as he started to read, listening to the wind howling outside, he heard something thud against the picture window. And he thought, "What was that?" And all of a sudden, there was another thud against the picture window. And he went over and he opened up the drapes and he looked outside, and there was a light on in the yard, and there was snow just coming down, and the wind was whipping around, and there was a flock of geese in the front yard. And they were honking and swirling around. All of a sudden, thud, another one hit the window. They were trying to get inside where it was warm. And the man knew that if they stayed out there in this weather, in these temperatures, they would freeze to death. He had to do something to help them. He thought, what can I do? He says, I'll chase him into my barn. And so he put on his hat and his gloves, his coats, his boots, and he went outside and he fought his way through the snow and he got over to his barn and he opened up the doors to the barn and he went over and tried to chase the geese into his barn. And they just kept moving away from him, circling around and landing back in the yard. Occasionally one of them thudding into the pitcher glass window trying to get inside. And he thought, well, this is crazy. It's like trying to herd a bunch of cats. Those geese wouldn't listen to him for nothing. So he went over to the barn. He turned on the light. Maybe if they saw the light in the barn, they would go. So he went back and he tried to chase them again, but they weren't having any of it. They wouldn't leave that yard. And the snow was piling up, and the temperatures were dropping, and it was getting bitterly cold. He walked back to the barn where his other animals were inside, safe and warm, and he thought, Lord, he said, God, what? I'm not a praying man, but what can I do to help these geese? I don't get it. And then he had an idea. He went and got one of his own geese, took it and put it in a burlap sack, and he carried it back outside, and he went on to the far side of all them geese. And he dumped his goose out, and that goose took off, shot right through all them other geese, and went straight into that barn where it knew it would be safe. And that whole flock of geese followed it into the barn. And he went over and he closed the barn doors. And as he closed the barn doors, it hit him. That's why God became one of us. Because we wouldn't follow anybody else. We'd only follow one of our own. That's the gift of Christmas. God loves you, and so do I.